This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
And now we bring in a good friend of the show, certainly knows this topic well, and that is a great Ryan Clark. Ryan, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing all right. One of the big topics that we've discussed today is the possibility of the Jets going after Aaron Rodgers. Would you do that?
I would not do it. That's a double negative, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, I think if you're the Jets and you are where you were this season, a great defense, some young, skilled players on the offensive side who, when given a chance, showed that they are more than capable playmakers, I think that's a play you have to make because you do feel like you're one player away, especially at that position. And it's not many opportunities you're going to get someone of Aaron Rodgers' talent and accomplishments to have an opportunity to be on your team. I think the other piece of that is what parts of the current New York Jets do you have to give up in order to get him? And I think that would be a large part of the conversation.
Do you think it'll take two first-round picks? Or because you're pigeonholed and only trading him in the AFC, will the reduced number of teams make it that you don't have to give up that much?
I don't know. I think it's still Aaron Rodgers, no matter where you're sending him, whether it's just AFC, and so now you don't have necessarily as many trade partners, or if you're opening it up to the entire league. Like, it's still Aaron Rodgers. You're still going to have to give up, you know, a handsome sum in order to give him. And I do believe it takes two first-rounders at the least, especially when you start looking at what was given up for a guy like a Matthew Stafford.
So let me ask you this, because we were debating this as well. We're moving forward as if Tom Brady is now the new norm, and he could be an outlier and an absolute freak. How much do you think that Aaron Rodgers has left? He's going to play next year at 40, Ryan, and he didn't have his best year this past year.
Yeah, he didn't have his best year this past year, but I believe it was the year before his two back-to-back MVPs where he had to say out loud that my bad year is, you know, what many people would consider a career year. And I think that's with the high expectations of Aaron Rodgers. We also have to look back at Tom Brady in 2019 in his last year with the New England Patriots. And since then, he's won a Super Bowl. He's led the league in touchdowns and, you know, yardage last year. And even this year, like, his numbers are way down, but Tom Brady is still a quarterback, even without the name, that you probably take, you know, over 15 to 16 other quarterbacks anyway. And so I think Aaron Rodgers still has a lot left. I think Aaron Rodgers can still make throws that most normal humans can't make. It's just about how much are you willing to wager on the bet that Tom Brady is the new norm, or that you can get 2 to 3 good years out of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, because I guess the question, now Tom Brady's a freak, obviously, because we're talking about somebody who might play at 46 years old. But is it the conditioning as much as it the way the game is played right now? There's just so much yardage. There's really no way of getting hit anymore. That's the reason we see so many quarterbacks playing deep into their 30s.
I mean, we've watched, you know, other guys play a long time. Drew Brees had a lengthy career. Obviously, at one point, Brett Favre was the guy we were looking to and saying, okay, this guy is a freak of nature. And he's doing things and playing at an age we're not used to seeing people play. But I think that the rules help. I think that the conditioning, the training, the dietitians, the diets, I think those things are also a part of it. And just the way that the game is played, the skill level that we're now seeing these young quarterbacks enter the league with and also continue to make progress through their evolution, like, they can just still do it.
All right, and so, I'm sorry, Ryan.
How you doing, brother?
I'm wondering, I'm going to throw this one at you. You're going to have to give up something to get Rodgers. You wouldn't have to give up anything but money to get Tom Brady. I don't know if you'll get him. You certainly have to recruit him. If you had the chance at either of them and have to give up two first-round draft picks for Rodgers or get Brady for money, what would you do?
I think I'd get Brady for money. If I couldn't, if his two draft picks strapped me, I think right now, given the same circumstances, Aaron Rodgers is the more talented quarterback, and being younger, a quarterback who's still willing to stand in there and get hit. When you watch Tom Brady in that last game against Dallas, it wasn't that the pressure continuously got to him. It was that he was scared it was going to get to him. And in saying that, I think it's very difficult to see him being able to perform at the level we watched maybe 2 years ago. Again, like, once you're tired of getting hit, man, you are tired of getting hit. And that's a real thing.
How much are you paying Daniel Jones if you're the GM of the Giants?
I think Daniel Jones is a $30 to $35 million quarterback. I believe you give him, you know, you give him a three-year deal. You give him a little over $100 million in that deal, and you allow him to show you that he's a $50 million quarterback. And if not, you structure that quarterback in a way where you're not tied into it for all of those years. Or if you structure it short enough, you can look at one of these drafts, if you draft high enough, and get you a guy that's young, ready to be the backup, ready to learn, and challenge Daniel Jones for that spot.
So what's the number that you straight up tell Daniel Jones, thank you, we appreciate everything, but take a walk?
I think if Daniel Jones wants 40, I wouldn't give it to him.
Got it.
Now, do you think that Daniel Jones' success is totally a product of Kafka and Dable, or did he just mature in his fourth year?
So here's what I'm going to say, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong. Do you guys know how many touchdowns Daniel Jones threw this year?
Yeah, 15.
That's not a lot, yo.
Simple,
you know what I mean?
And true.
Do you know how many times Daniel Jones passed for over 230 yards?
No.
Three times. Two of them against the Minnesota Vikings. Not sure if you watched the Minnesota Vikings defense, but they're hot garbage.
And so
I think what happened is, and don't get me wrong, watching Daniel Jones play in that first round of the playoffs in the wild card game against Minnesota, I thought he just played so well. I thought he showed that he should be given a chance to be the franchise quarterback of the Giants. I'm not sold he can be that because we don't know. So now we're saying add more pieces around him as far as wide receivers. You can't go in with Slayton and James and Hodgins. You got to have a go-to guy. Does the passing yardage go up? Do we find ways to get more explosive plays? Is there more touchdowns in the passing game? Right now where Daniel Jones is, I would say from a passing game standpoint, and maybe in total, he's at a level below, or maybe two levels below where we thought Jalen Hurts was last year. Right? Remember Jalen Hurts didn't pass in the last playoff game against Tampa Bay? Looked very similar to what Daniel Jones was when we saw him against Philadelphia. Can he take something similar to that step? Because until you see that step, then Daniel Jones hasn't done very much but stopped turning the football over. And so we're comparing 15 touchdowns and 16 starts to saying, oh, my gosh, look how great Daniel Jones is. Is this a product of the offense? No, it's a product of Brian Daboll understanding how to coach team football and not allowing Daniel Jones to kill him and then putting him in situations where he could succeed with using his athleticism. But let's not look at Daniel Jones and think to ourselves that we just saw the second coming of John Elway.
Talking with Ryan Clark of ESPN here on the Michael Kay Show. Ryan, before we let you go, I'm just curious. The Kansas City Chiefs were 1.5-point favorites yesterday. Now they're 2.5-point underdogs at home to the Bengals. Now I know he has a high ankle sprain. Does that number make sense to you?
First off, bro, high ankle sprains are the worst.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's similar to having a fracture of your fibula. So those are very difficult to play on. And Patrick Mahomes is superhuman. You know, the Cincinnati Bengal team is, and we got to, like, be honest, right? You think about the score you think about the spread. They played three times in the last year. Cincinnati's won all three times, with one of those times being in the AFC Championship last year when trailing at halftime. they may just be the better team. I think the reason we sit here and we say the Kansas City Chiefs have a chance and the Kansas City Chiefs could win or the Kansas City Chiefs are in any game is because of their quarterback is now hindered and hampered a little bit. So I do believe that the score is representative of what many believe about these two squads.
Ryan, great stuff as always. Thanks for popping on with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, you promised some nuggets that you had for us, Peter.
Yeah.
Some tasty nuggets.
Yeah.
All right. Let's first hear from Mike Tannenbaum. He was on with Barton Hahn on Monday and told an interesting story, and talking about this whole Aaron Rodgers thing, an interesting story about how he convinced Brett Favre to come to the Jets.
One of the underrated aspects of running a team or being a negotiator is you got to be a great question asker. I just kept asking Brett questions and knew that he loved to hunt and fish. And there was a farm about 20 minutes away from the Jets facility. And we made sure that every Tuesday that he would be hunting and fishing. I said, if you come to the Jets, I'm going to fine you every Tuesday that you don't hunt and fish. That's going to be a meaningful part of your experience here. Like, because all the other teams that were competing against us were like, oh, you go to the Jets, you'll be practicing in Times Square. There's traffic and congestion. I'm like, that's the exact opposite. Like, you're going to have an unbelievable experience. It's going to be fun, fulfilling. You're going to be left alone. There's great outdoors here. And we actually sent him Google satellite imaging of, like, where the farm was, where he could go. I really just talked to him about the lifestyle, the locker room, the players, and just sort of like checked off one box after the other in a very methodical sort of like 3-week approach. And, you know, we were very fortunate that it worked out.
Yeah, I got to call a little bit foul on that. You convinced him he had nowhere to go and he wanted to play.
Right.
So you convinced him for 1 year. He didn't stay after that year. He went to the Vikings, which was his ultimate destination.
He wanted to go to the Vikings. The Packers were not going to trade him there. Traded him to the Jets, and he knew he was going to go. Now, was there other places he could have went for just a year? I don't know. I'd have to go back and get into 2008 mode to find out the answer. But, all right, so they're going to probably do the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. What do you like to do? Because, yeah, there is a perception, oh, you play in New York.
He's like, well, I like to be a nozzle. Well, you could do that anywhere.
Believe me, there's probably no, and you might be able to answer this, Peter, not being from here, that there's no probably more misunderstood area than the tri-state area. You know, your first impression of New Jersey is landing in Newark. Your impression of New York is Manhattan. And you don't realize the beaches and the farms and the places to hunt. I mean, we got everything here. It's pretty awesome. And where the Jets train could not be farther from like Manhattan and the hustle and bustle and the traffic and all that. Same thing with the Giants over in East Rutherford. But Aaron Rodgers wants to win. He wants to close out his career with a chance to win a Super Bowl. So I'm sure all the other things are important. But selling him on the talent that you have and the coaches that you have, to me, is 80% of the battle here. Not where he can go get his favorite hamburger.
Well, let's move on from the Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers of it all to Nick Sirianni, who was asked to explain. I don't know if you guys saw a couple days ago that in talking about how great Jalen Hurts was, he compared him to Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Sirianni explaining.
He's unlike anybody I've been around just with how much he loves this game. Winning drives him, how much getting better every day drives him, how much, you know, leading drives him. Like, he's special. He is a special dude. That's where really I was coming from with that, in the sense of like, man, these guys are, they're built different.
I think all of us need a bit too much content. What was that bit? Was that a big deal? He didn't, he's not a basketball player. He didn't compare Michael Jordan. He compared the competitor. Big deal.
I know. Like, people were like,
I mean, people went up and on. How could he compare him to Michael? They don't play the same sport, clowns. What's the big deal?
Well, because people who think you're comparing him, you're saying that he's going to be like Michael Jordan in football. Like, that great. When that's not.
Well, maybe he will be one day.
But that's not even what he was saying.
Right. He wasn't even saying
he's talking work ethic and being kind of a crazy man.
And even when he said it, he kind of paused. I just think he was just trying to get a reaction, just showing you how much he really thinks this guy is competing.
I think he also compared him to Allen Iverson.
Those are names that you throw out there that are going to get people's attention, for sure. And that's what he's trying to do.
Although I don't think of Iverson as being like Jordan at all, considering Iverson's famous for his practice quote.
Right.
You don't think of them in sort of the same breath, even though I'm a bigger AI guy probably.
But
than
in
I
Philly,
am even
if you're trying to, you know, that's a name you throw out there in Philly.
Right.
What about Rocky Balboa? Yeah,
that's a fictional character.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what about then Apollo Creed?
Well, that I can understand.
He also fictional and not from Philly.
Oh, so where was he from then?
That's a great question. Oh, did it ever come up?
That's trivia galore. I don't know. Where is Apollo Creed? It has to be. Oh, no. It has to be in the movie Creed. It has to be clear now.
Yeah, but I think the son was somewhat separated from the father.
Oh, he's originally from California. Yes, you know what? Don, they do say that because remember in Rocky III, when they go to train for the fight, he takes him out to California.
Right, and he's running
and
on
that's why they're running on the beach.
The
and then they had a very awkward hug at the
end
of the
run.
But it was passionate. There was love there. Speaking of passionate, let's hear one of the fakest things you'll ever hear on radio when Tom Brady was asked by Jim Gray about his future.
Do you have any type of a timetable as to what you might want to do regarding your football career?
Jim, if I knew what I was going to fucking do, I'd have already fucking done it, okay? I'm taking it a day at a time.
I sense you're antagonized by the question.
You're scratching.
It's only the question scratchy. That everybody wants to hear.
You're scratchy. I appreciate your asking. Thank you.
I mean... So here's what we're going to do, okay? I'm going to say the F word, then they're going to bleep it, then we'll put it out. I mean, my Lord.
That's I'm going to ask you about it, and I want you to get agitated. And, Tom, what's a great word I can throw out there to show people that I'm really upset?
I'm really cool.
The F word. You want to do that? Oh, how about this? Say it twice. Okay.
Wow. Ready? Let's try it. We'll try it a few times. Here's the first one. Ready?
Let's practice.
Hold on. I didn't hit record. Hold on.
I apologize. I'll take it off. Oh, man.
So we really got ourselves into some business.
Yeah, I tell you.
I think you're really going to like this, Michael. Have you seen or heard the clip of Tsitsipas? I can never say his name well. At the Australian Open, taking his shot.
I haven't heard it, but I listened. I read about it.
All right, this is after his quarter-final match at the Australian Open.
One of my favorite exorcists comes from Australia, Margot Robbie. I wish I can...
Margot Robbie? Are you pitching right now? What's happening?
Am I what?
Pitching? Are you, like, you know, making an offer? What are we seeing here?
It would be nice to see you over there one day.
Okay. So you're officially extending an invitation to Margot Robbie. I just want to be crystal clear here.
Absolutely.
You never respected anyone more, have you, Michael?
Well, I got to tell you know, Jennifer Aniston's always been my hall pass. Margot Robbie is just stunningly gorgeous.
Yes.
So you respect what he's done here?
I do respect. I mean, you have to use your position because didn't I use a radio show to make my move on Jody?
You did.
How'd it work out?
It worked out great. Two kids later, very happy. 12th anniversary coming up. Let's roll.
Roll.
I mean, we know that you're happy. We haven't talked to Jody and asked.
You know what? I worry about me. If I'm happy, then it's worked out fine.
Wow, Don, isn't that revealing?
So if you found out that she was unhappy,
right,
with the whole marriage. But right. She's going to stick around. She's going to fight through it for the kids.
And I was happy.
And you were happy.
I feel sorry for her, but I'm good.
It's funny that your happiness in the marriage has nothing to do with how she feels about it.
Well, it's how I feel.
I know, but wouldn't you be affected by her not being happy?
Maybe a little bit, but I'm good. As long as I'm continuing to be happy. As long as the kids are good.
Well, but I think the question is, that why would you continue to be happy if she's unhappy?
As you would say, I'm good.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.